Home Depot going to China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Just like every other company on the planet, it seems, Home Depot wants a piece of the Chinese market. Word is the retailer will buy a majority stake this week in a do-it-yourself chain called HomeWay. It has 14 stores in northern China. The move allows Home Depot to compete against its British rival, Kingfisher. China opens its banking market to foreign companies today. New rules allow foreign banks to offer their services in China's currency for the first time. More now from Ruth Kirshner in Beijing.
Some 70 foreign banks are represented in China. So far, only 8 have applied to open retail operations under the new rules.
Foreign banks recognize that this is one of the last frontiers in the global arena, and they see this as holding long-term potential.
Charlene Chu of Fitch Ratings says foreign banks want to tap into a market with some $4 trillion in savings.
This is a banking market that is growing very, very fast on its own. So if you want to acquire a larger share of a fast-growing market, you're going to have to grow yourself very, very fast.
But Chu also says Chinese customers might be reluctant to shift their money to an unfamiliar foreign bank. However, expectations are that in the long run, customers will be won over by the list of modern products and services not available at the domestic banks. In Beijing, I'm Ruth Kirshner for Marketplace.
I'm sure you've seen what a trading floor looks like. Lots of people yelling and making hand gestures. Today, another signal the trading floor is on its way out. Members of the New York Board of Trade vote on a merger with an online commodity trading company. Elisa Roth reports.
The New York Board of Trade is a futures market for commodities like coffee, sugar, and cotton. Trades are made using an old-fashioned open outcry system. The Intercontinental Exchange trades petroleum and other energy commodities electronically. It wants to buy the Board of Trade for $1 billion. Adam Sussman of the TAB Group says this deal would offer the best of both worlds.
It offers product breadth, and it also makes sense in terms of the synergies that they'll be able to bring to the table.
Under the new deal, customers will have a choice of using the open outcry system or the new electronic one. But many say this is the beginning of the end for the old system. Sussman says that's okay.
Electronic trading is a more efficient way to invest and create capital.
Not everybody agrees. Some members of the Board of Trade filed a lawsuit late last week trying to block the merger. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
At the moment, airline pilots have to retire at age 60. But some foreign countries have raised the age to 65, and word is the FAA will do the same thing. The Wall Street Journal says more than 30,000 pilots will reach age 60 in the next decade. Wall Street's waiting on the last Federal Reserve meeting of the year. Last week, the major indexes all gained about 1%. The Dow starts the week at 12,307. The NASDAQ is at 2437. The S&P 500 at 1409. Sounds like the Fed's going to leave interest rates alone tomorrow. This is Marketplace. On this day 9 years ago, 150 countries signed the Kyoto Treaty. One of the ideas for reducing greenhouse gases was carbon trading. Here's Jeff Tyler from our sustainability desk.
Only the European Union has managed to get an emissions trading system up and running. Covering 25 countries and a $10 billion market, the EU trading system has made pollution caps work.
The trading has worked. They've met their targets. They've actually exceeded their targets.
That's Billy Pizer, senior fellow at Resources for the Future, a think tank. But he says companies see a downside.
There is definitely some concern that the program is making it more expensive to basically do business in Europe.
And more uncertain. Businesses can't plan long-term since participating countries haven't nailed down emissions targets beyond 2008. But however flawed, at least the EU has a system. In the rest of the world, carbon emissions trading is still guesswork. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, supporting the Children's Heart Foundation's It's My Heart, a book for families affected by heart defects. Copies at childrensheartfoundation.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Tis the season for getting asked whether you'd like to get the extended warranty on that new iPod or TV or computer you're buying. With profit margins very thin, retailers are going to try to sell you their longer-term warranty. But Consumer Reports just crunched the numbers, and editor Todd Marks says your answer should be no.
First, you're betting that the product's going to break in the first place. That's unlikely. We have frequency of repair data from tens of thousands of readers that talk about basically what you can expect to go wrong with a product within the first 3 or 4 years of ownership. And in the vast majority of cases, the repair rate is well below 50%. Many products, the repair rate is under 10%. There's another part of the equation to think about, too. And that is, what will be the cost of the repair relative to the cost of the warranty? We've found out that when a product breaks and people have an extended warranty and go out to get that product repaired under the extended warranty, that the cost of the warranty and the cost of the repair were very, very similar.
So you're telling me if I buy a $3,000 laptop or a TV, I should just forego the $200 or $300 warranty altogether?
Well, you can spend it for peace of mind. That's what the warranty business is all about. It's expensive insurance, and they're selling you peace of mind. What is insurance supposed to protect you from? Well, when you're thinking about insurance at its most basic, home, health, life, what we're dealing with is insurance that is designed to protect you from catastrophic financial losses that you can't easily cover out of pocket. With an extended warranty for products, that's just not the case. Most people can cover the cost of these product failures.
Are there any other options for getting some kind of protection besides the extended warranty that the store is offering?
Well, the most basic is to use your credit card to purchase any product you buy. And I shouldn't say all credit cards. It's mostly gold and platinum cards. But most credit cards actually, well, they give you extra coverage or they extend the manufacturer's warranty for up to a year. So that's one tip. Two, we always advise people if you are going to get an extended warranty, do not pay more than 20% of the product's replacement cost for that warranty. That's just too high.
Well, I got to tell you, Todd, when you're standing there buying this expensive product, the salespeople somehow make the extended warranty sound really, really appealing. But I'm going to tell this Christmas, I'm going to tell them you said no.
Well, that would be a good gift to give somebody, and maybe the money that they save they can put towards gifts for you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. My pleasure.
Todd Marks from Consumer Reports. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining us, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
You could call it the special sauce of the American economy.
Sludge really keeps the culture of corporate America stable, the way it always has been, for the last 40, 50 years.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. How one company decided to try to break through the sludge and rescue its workers. That story and all the day's business news coming up next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.